All right, for today's deep dive, we're looking at a key document that tried to reshape South African education.
We are. It's the National Policy for an Equitable Provision of an Enabling School Physical Teaching and Learning Environment, which came out back in 2008.
A bit of a mouthful.
It is, yeah. But our mission is to unpack the executive summary. And, you know, you have to remember the context. Post-1994, the new government inherited just one of the most unequal education systems in the world.
And that inequality wasn't just about curriculum. It was physical.
It was bricks and mortar. The resource distribution, the actual buildings themselves, was acutely unequal.
Our sources paint a pretty stark picture of that. I mean, the majority of learners were in these decrepit, sometimes just flat-out unsafe buildings.
Right, and lacking the absolute basics. No electricity, no safe water, terrible sanitation, and forget about facilities for sports or arts.
So it wasn't just a matter of fairness. The policy argues this had a direct impact on learning.
A huge measurable impact. And this is where it gets really interesting, because the studies they cited showed a direct link between the physical environment and student achievement.
So poor conditions were leading to kids not showing up.
Exactly. Irregular attendance, dropping out, and even teacher absenteeism.
Wait, I was really surprised they got so specific, down to things like thermal conditions.
Mm-hmm.
We usually think about textbooks, but they're saying extreme heat or cold literally reduces attention span and increases student errors.
It does. It directly impacts test scores. And get this, think about acoustics. The policy highlights that good acoustics are critical because, on average, something like 15% of students in a classroom have some hearing impairment.
Wow. So if the room echoes and you can't hear the lesson,
how can you learn? It's that basic. And simple things, too, like good lighting and a colorful environment were shown to improve student attitude, behavior, and concentration.
So what's the bottom line here? All these inequalities in the physical space were basically sabotaging the core goals of the whole sector.
They were actively frustrating the goals of quality and equity.
Okay, so recognizing this, they did throw money at the problem.
They did. Resource allocation for school infrastructure jumped substantially. It went from about $352 million in the mid-90s to nearly $5 billion by 2009.
That sounds like a massive increase.
It was huge progress.
But the sources show that even with all that investment, huge challenges remained. Like, nearly 80% of schools still didn't have libraries.
Right, and 68% had no computers for teaching. The delivery just wasn't keeping pace with the need.
So that's the policy gap they identified. The money was flowing, but...
but without a clear framework.
Yeah.
Improvements were happening without a clear policy saying what an enabling environment actually is. So they had to define it and then align the spending.
And what stands out here is the shift in that definition.
Mm.
The Department of Education, the DOE, they realized a building isn't enough.
Mm.
They expanded the idea of the physical environment to include furniture, equipment, facilities for things like sports, and even books and instructional materials.
Exactly. It became holistic. And to guide this, the policy laid out 8 key strategic directions. We can focus on a few of the most impactful ones.
Okay.
First, to get everyone on the same page, they introduced national norms and standards. This set a minimum bar for safety, for functionality, and even for enrichment right across the country.
So a baseline for what every school should have.
A baseline, yes. And second, to control costs and make sure schools were actually, you know, functional, they mandated standardized architectural designs.
So basically blueprints.
Blueprints, yeah. New construction had to follow specific prototypes. And finally, they tried to ensure long-term sustainability through funding diversification.
Getting money from outside the government.
Right. They set a really aggressive target, actually. Source a minimum of 25% of capital from non-public sources by 2010.
That all sounds like a very comprehensive plan for creating equality. But the policy ends with this really provocative thought.
It does. It raises the idea of mandated inequalities.
Which sounds like the exact opposite of their goal.
It does, but it's a direct challenge to the idea of strict, equal distribution for everything. The plan includes setting explicit, transparent criteria, things like aptitude or exceptional achievement for accessing enrichment resources.
So channeling extra resources to specific high-potential areas, like the Dean Milady Project for math and science schools.
Precisely. They recognize that sometimes to drive national development, you might need to focus resources.
It leaves a tough question for you to think about then. If the goal is to lift the whole country up, how can you justify a system of, well, transparently managed inequality? Is focusing on pockets of excellence the only way for an entire system to advance?